grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll see how well I remember what I'm supposed to do up here. It's been a while. And I'd like to again thank Dennis Nelson, Richard Anderson, and Paula Mortensen for stepping in for me on those previous Sundays while I was unable to stand up for long periods of time. I want to tell you about Ed Kohler. I've mentioned him before, but he was the janitor at my church in New Jersey. He was in the Navy between World War II and Korea, so he served during a time of peace for this country, and he has story on top of story about his service in the Navy. I really don't know that there are any of those stories, though, that are appropriate to be shared here. But he was proud of his service. He used to participate in all of the different parades that happened throughout the town in terms of Memorial Day parades and 4th of July parades and such. He would wear his uniform on Memorial Day. He would wear it on Veterans Day. He would wear it on December 7th. Just as a reminder, not only for his service, but what the men and women in the military give for this country on a regular basis. He was proud of that time, and he wasn't afraid to allow people to know it. He was a great deal like Ernest Martin. Ernest, too, wore his uniform, an Army uniform from a different era, from the Vietnam era. And he would proudly wear his uniform during parades and during different holidays, this most recent one, Veterans Day. And so he donned his Army garb, and he decided he was going to take advantage of the generosity of Chili's, because Chili's offers free meals to veterans on Veterans Day. And so as he was sitting there in Chili's by himself with a service dog eating this meal, he was approached by a gentleman who had served in World War II. And he struck up a conversation with Ernest, questioning him about where he served and what he did. And the gentleman said to Ernest, "Well, when I was in the Army, I didn't serve with your kind." And Ernest politely just said, "Well, things have changed over time." A little bit later, the manager from Chili's approached Ernest and began to question him about his military service. It seems to me, it seems that the World War II veteran didn't believe that Ernest had served in Vietnam, even though he had his uniform and his discharge papers with him. And for whatever reason, the manager began to question him, and Ernest showed him those same things. The manager ultimately took away Ernest's dinner because he too questioned whether Ernest had served or not. When Ernest was interviewed by this, because he was able to record the conversation he had with the manager, and it ended up being one of these things that goes onto Facebook and into the viral world. Say that one quick three times. And so he was interviewed by a television station about how he felt about this incident taking place. And when he was questioned about the attitude of the elderly gentleman from World War II, his response was, "Well, I bet he really is a nice guy. Just with everything that's been going on within this country over the past couple of months, it puts people on edge. But I don't think he really meant anything by it." When I heard that, I was struck by the odd sense of forgiveness that this man offered the gentleman who was responsible for his food being taken away. I would have expected, at the very least, a tinge of anger, questioning what right anybody had to take his food away after he laid his life on the line on behalf of this country and was just simply partaking in a gift that was offered. But there was none of that. There was only words of reconciliation and words of forgiveness. Something you really didn't necessarily expect within that sort of setting and circumstance. It struck me because it's very similar, I think, to unexpected words that you find in today's gospel lesson. We're at an execution. Jesus is dying. And as he's dying, to those who are taunting him, to those who placed him on the cross, to those who are surrounding him, making this miserable situation even worse, he offers nothing but forgiveness. Forgiveness to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, forgiveness to the Roman authorities, forgiveness to the Roman soldiers. Forgiveness to a criminal on a cross next to him. Forgiveness in a place, in a situation where you really wouldn't expect it. But it's kind of like this lesson. You don't expect this lesson to be here in the middle of November. This is not a November lesson. You know, we're getting close to Christmas and we're getting all geared up for that. Walmart and Target will let you know that in case you had forgotten. And so this whole idea of this Good Friday narrative being placed here in the middle of November really seems out of place. But as we talk about the close of the church year and we celebrate Christ as King, we understand, or we're called to understand, in terms of what the nature of this kingship is about. It isn't about crowns and palaces and robes and glory and all those things that make you want to be a king or a queen. It is wrapped around mercy and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness offered to individuals who really don't seem to deserve it, but given nonetheless. You know, it sets forth as an example for us, of course, in terms of who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be acting. I think Ernest Martin got that. Somewhere along the lines within his life, Ernest understood the whole idea and the understanding of what forgiveness is about, that forgiveness is offered not because people necessarily deserve it or even ask for it, but simply that's the way God intends the world to work. Through grace, through love, through forgiveness. About 10 years ago, Charles Roberts IV walked into a schoolhouse in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He told all the boys to leave, and he all lined the little girls up. And he began to execute them one by one. He shot 8 girls in all, killing 5 of them. Now, this just wasn't any schoolhouse. This was an Amish schoolhouse. And what ensued after that, and after Roberts ended up taking his life after this, when the state police showed up, was an incredible story of grace and love and forgiveness. Now, the Amish live in very small, tight-knit communities that are almost little family enclaves. And so when something like that, of that magnitude of a tragedy happens, it really touches the entire community. Not hours after that, one of the elders of that Amish community was heard admonishing some of the young men, saying, "This is where forgiveness needs to happen, here and now." As time went on and the funeral service was held for Charles Roberts, his wife Marie was surprised when over 30 people from the Amish community showed up at his funeral to mourn with her, because they understood that sense of loss that she must be feeling. The sense of distraught over not only losing her husband, but losing that sense of the man whom she had married, who had seemed to really gone off the rollers in terms of what he did, and how his actions would forever scar her and their children. And that Amish community reached out to her to mourn with her, to comfort her, and to understand that there was forgiveness and love there for her and for her family. The Amish then went on to be able to create a charitable fund that raised money to help her with the financial loss of her husband, to be able to send her children to college. It's a story that really, for us, I think, goes way beyond the pale of understanding. We understand forgiveness at a certain level, but forgiveness at that level seems almost beyond the realm of our understanding and possibility. And yet, that is the love, that is the mercy, that is the forgiveness that Jesus exhibited on the cross that day. The same sort of love and mercy and forgiveness that we're called to exhibit on a daily basis. The same sort of forgiveness we're called to live out each day of our lives. We as a country, as you well know, are in a pretty twisted position. There's still a lot of consternation over the things that have taken place over the past months, and there's still a lot of misgivings about people on one side or the other. And yet, this is the moment where God calls us to come together as a people to understand that forgiveness needs to take place no matter what side of any issue we happen to be on. That God calls us to be people of love, people of mercy, people of forgiveness. When somebody has done us wrong, when we've done somebody else wrong, when we perceive something's not exactly the way we want it to be, God calls us to live life of love. To live a life where we reach out to one another in compassion. To live a life where we reach out to one another in mercy. And for all, to offer that sense of forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ. It is an attitude check. It is a challenge to each of us to understand where we are as children of God. For if we are not about compassion, if we are not about forgiveness, for if we are not about mercy and love, then we are not about the things of God. As we celebrate Christ as our King, we celebrate those lessons of love that He's placed within our lives. And we pray earnestly each and every day that we can live those lessons out in what we do and what we say. So when the world looks at us individually and collectively as God's children, the world will see forgiveness. The world will see compassion. And the world will see love on an unparalleled basis. We are called to be those people, the people of forgiveness, the people of mercy, the people of God's love. Amen.